Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Charlie Collier, as we get set to talk sports and other things as we kick off this new week, Monday, August 8th. Last week without real football, right? Until February? Because next week, I mean, isn't next week week zero for college football?
Ooh, is it?
I don't. Ooh, I think you're a week ahead.
Not this upcoming weekend, but the weekend after. Would that not be week zero?
No, right?
August 20th isn't the week zero?
No, it's the 27th.
Ooh. Oh, rats.
I'm sorry to get your hopes up.
Rats.
Oh, no.
Start the show over.
I thought that maybe you were either I thought you were either a week early on week zero or a week late on preseason, and either one is going to be weird for you to declare football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were going preseason. I was like, that doesn't sound like you.
Preseason's already here.
But like,
yeah.
Week zero doesn't sound like you either.
Yeah, no, week zero is not me. I'm a week early. Start the show over. What a terrible way to start the week. Goodness gracious. Cam, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Doing good. I'm excited for preseason this week. I get to see my team back on the field, and I love that. That makes me happy. And it's not even – I don't even have to wait all the way to Sunday. That's the beauty of preseason. It's randomly on like a Friday. just random days like that. But I'm doing good. Nothing really to report, I guess. I didn't really get into too much this weekend. Just working pretty much. So nothing too crazy. Just excited for, you know, keep getting closer and closer to football. That's the big thing here. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I'm excited. Got this nice new chair over here, too. I feel like my life just upgraded.
You.
I feel an improvement in my life from this just chair.
Yeah, I was a little jealous. Like, oh, that's kind of nice.
Who knew a chair could make a difference like that?
You know, I felt bad for you guys having to sit on that chair for a long time. So,
it's
whoever broke it did the right thing.
Take one for the team, and I appreciate them. Mm. Yeah,
that old
out.
Chair had so many foul scents trapped in it too.
Oh, I didn't.
I'm sure they
get
all
down and
released at once when it broke.
Yeah,
oh, no.
There's just a stinky ghost floating
oh,
around.
Boy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't get down to smell it or anything.
Sometimes they just waft out of there.
Fair enough.
Wolf?
Charlie, what about you? How are you? How was the wedding?
Really good.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'm really good.
Oh, okay.
The wedding was also really good, though. All
right, good.
So, yeah, that was cool, too. I'm
How
very
was that
excited
golf
for
course?
Very excited for this preseason game.
How'd your golf game go, playing on the other
so,
hard golf course?
That was the hardest course I've ever played.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was just, especially, we talked about it last week, when you're not familiar with the course, how much harder it is.
Yeah.
That was one of those.
Okay. Because
there were 130 bunkers, and a lot of them were just along the fairways. So when you didn't know the course, like, there were situations where it's like, man, I wish I would have hit 3-wood here because I hit a driver and it landed beautifully in the fairway and then it kept rolling into a bunker and just the bunkers were really hard to get out of. So I ended up shooting a 94.
Okay.
And honestly, I've never been more proud of a score in the 90s. Like, I parred or better.
I don't need a full breakdown of your round. It was an empty question.
I parred or better 8 holes.
Just for the record.
But then I also doubled or worse 8 holes, and those were just 8 holes that I found fairway bunkers.
Yeah, yeah, but again, we didn't
so that
really
was great.
Care.
I mean, the people that I played with was they were wonderful. Very kind, enjoyable people. I love when I get to go be a random with like 3 people that already know each other or 2 people that know each other. When you just get to go be, you know, that last person, when you play by yourself. The wedding was great. Have you been seeing, you been going to any weddings lately?
It's a weird question to ask me, but no, I haven't been to a wedding since, I guess, March. And that was the only one I've been to probably in the last.
Or have you guys been to any weddings with,
I went
like,
recently.
Cigar bars?
No cigar bar. No. I went to a wedding in March, and that was the first one I'd been to since COVID, I believe, so. Well, that's not true. I went to one other one. But COVID weddings were weird anyway, so.
Yeah, no cigar bar at the last 2 weddings I've been to. Is that a new thing?
Yeah, are you just trying to flex about cigars or what's happening here?
No, I was curious if that's like a growing thing or not.
I mean, not the ones I went to.
Well, because like It was. They had a cigar bar at this wedding, and then I like.
Does the
heard,
groom love cigars?
I guess he likes them. And then there were other people at the wedding that were talking about like whether or not they'd have a cigar bar at their wedding. And I was like, is this just a thing that I've never been privy to? But I like the cigar bar, except it kind of takes people away from the dance floor for like a good 30, 40 minutes because everyone's just outside smoking cigars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering because I was like, are you doing this inside or what? Yeah, that was my
I think I'm out on the idea of a cigar bar, unless you're just like, that's your thing. But per a Google search, there are articles about, you know, etiquette and, you know, cigar bars and whether or not you should have them and the cost. And some say it's a must do. So, I mean, I guess it's a, it's not that new of a thing because these articles go back to at least till 2015. So maybe it's more of a northern thing.
Maybe. I mean, I do consider Indiana to be the north.
Well, definitely compared to Tennessee.
But other than that, yeah, very good weekend. Saturday, got to pop by the casino on the way home.
Nice.
Had a nice hibachi dinner.
Nice.
Saturday night. Ooh. Then yesterday I played what had to have been the worst golf course in all of America. I showed up, right, to this course with...
Oh, another golf story?
No. This one you'll actually find interesting because it's okay. Not about the golf itself.
Let's hear it.
So my buddy and his dad and his brother, they like to meet up in either Cookeville or Crossville sometimes and play golf on the weekends because two of them are coming from Franklin and he's coming from Knoxville. Sometimes I join him. It was in Crossville yesterday, and his dad found this place online that we hadn't heard of before. It was called River Run.
Okay.
We show up. Immediately, we have questions. Like, this place doesn't look super functional. Like, it looks like there's not a lot of people there. And we find the parking lot, what we think to be the parking lot, and there's just an older gentleman sitting in a cart next to his truck in the parking lot. And we say, hey, you know, where's the pro shop? Like, what's going on here? And he's like, well, you know, Brenda, she doesn't like to come in early on Sundays. And, you know, so no one's here yet that works here. But, you know, you can just, the door's open to the barn. You can go find the barn in the back. And you just got to go check your levels and check, you know, make sure you find a cart that has enough gas and the right pressure. And, you know, take a look under the, you know, everything underneath. Make sure everything looks good before you take them because these carts are pretty bad. You know, some of them break down. Some of them's brakes don't work. And, you know, you can just get out there and play and, maybe she'll be back after you finish 9 holes, and if not, you know, she'll be back after you finish 18, and you can pay her then. So we had to just go find our own cart. We had to search for one that had what we presumed to be ample amounts of gas, even though we didn't really know exactly how to check that either. We finally found a semi-working cart, and then we just played this course, and it looked like they had not mowed any aspect of the course in weeks.
Okay.
We would lose balls in the fairway because that's how thick the fairway was. The greens didn't even have grass on them in some spots. Just completely gross all around. And again, no one that worked there showed up until like 10 a.m.
So did you end up having to pay them?
Yeah, we still paid them.
Okay.
I think they should have paid us.
Yeah, I would have probably just left, but...
I mean, we were already there. We put in an effort to drive to Crossville to play golf. We just played, and, I mean, again, it wasn't even enjoyable, honestly.
Yeah.
The course was just so bad. And the worst part was that it looked like it was a course that actually had some nice potential if anyone cared about it. So that was disappointing, but, you know, that I played my Sunday wiffle ball, had a nice meal. It was all in all a really eventful, good weekend for me.
Thanks.
John, you?
Nothing to report, really. Same old same over here. Just chillaxed. That's where you chill and relax at the same time.
Ooh.
No sports.
Yep.
Which was a little sad. Did find myself, you know, watching some, at least, like, keeping up with some baseball a little bit.
I thought you were going to say Premier League.
No. I mean, I did check the scores there. It's obviously, I know it was the return. Did see that my Reds with a sad tie to open the season.
Yeah.
Which might be the difference between, you know, winning the league and not winning the league. That was tough. Mm-hmm. But, nope, pretty much did nothing. Just hung out. Stayed safe.
Good.
Trying to lay a little bit lower until football season.
Okay,
right? Trying to
It's like rest up before the storm, kind
of. Well, I just know it's going to be a long, you know, 3 months, 4 months after that starts, really until January, February, if the Titans play well. Who knows? But, like, yeah, so I'm just trying to kind of be careful.
I always tell myself that I'm going to, once basketball season ends, because I, you know, basketball is also just crazy for me, but, like, once that ends, I always tell myself I'm just going to relax, take it easy, lay low, get ready for it all to start back again when football starts, but I just never do. So I'm just going into football season just already a million miles an hour.
Okay. Well, we'll come back. We'll hit the sports story of the day. Charlie, last week here on Talk Sports.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Last week here on Talk Sports.
I didn't realize
Sports.
You tweeted that. Someone asked me about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that is a thing.
Well, we had eventually announced it, so I figured today I was going to announce it, you know, right here at this time. So I figured we'd tweet it and announce it. But, yeah, Charlie's last week before he relaunches the Blitz, going back to 10 a.m.
Blitz.
Bittersweet. I'll miss you, but appreciate you. We can enjoy this last week together. You excited? Nervous? Will this be the first time you've ran the Blitz by yourself? Or
I mean, I've hosted the Blitz plenty of times.
Well, right, but I mean, just kind of, you're the main guy now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm not saying you weren't the other times, but you always had, like, an OG that was here a little bit longer, more tenure than you.
We had a throw-together Blitz with, like, me and Stackhouse for, like, a month, but now.
Right.
I'm excited to, yeah, actually.
That was out of football season, right? That was,
yeah,
like, yeah.
That was just.
A little bit of basketball, maybe?
A little bit of basketball, just to get through basketball and baseball before the summer, and then. I'm excited now to actually get a couple people in here I think y'all be excited about.
We should be introducing at least one or two, at least one of them this week at some point, whenever they kind of come in, hang out with us, and get acclimated. Maybe both at
maybe
some point
both.
Make it.
Hopefully sweet. Both. So that should be fun. Yeah, to actually have a planned show that, you know, comes from my brain and
yeah
stuff like that. I'm pretty pumped. I think it should be a good show.
I'm excited for you. So
bridge the gap between 3 and Out and Talk Sports, because
yeah,
I
mean,
gaps need bridging.
Like that. Yeah, gaps need bridging.
Yeah, sorry to the people that love Dan Patrick. You're going to get some blowback from some older guys because they.
I really do. I wonder if there'll be Dan like Patrick. One person out there.
Oh,
that's
there will be.
So glad that they finally got Dan Patrick, and then
I've already heard from at least like two. So like, I mean, it's like, wow, love
two people. That
it's
are
like, yeah, like I'm actually kind of glad you guys are playing Dan Patrick because. I love Dan Patrick is what they say, so you'll get a blowback from a couple people, maybe, but I'm excited for you.
Maybe people will tune in for Dan Patrick, and then they'll just hear me and be like, oh, yeah,
this guy's okay.
Also says words.
Either that or they'll at least be mad. Maybe they'll hate listen. Dan wouldn't have said this. Dan would have said something different.
Dan would have never wasted my time telling me to take South East Carolina's win total over
there
plus 110 odds.
Well, as your last week, we'll kick off.
Does that mean we can get a special Friday trivia, Cam, that is categories that only I know and he
doesn't know
anything
about? We tried
doing
that before and you've lost. You haven't performed well in your special category, so
well,
if I were you, I would just
when did I
relax.
Not? When did that happen?
Well, Hayden whipped your ass in Nashville.
Yeah,
trivia.
Well, Hayden, we
last
both...
week you said the categories were geared towards you and you barely scored, so let's just take it one day
a
at a
couple
time.
Counters.
Let's take
a
it.
A couple counters.
You know, we don't need it.
No. When me and Hayden picked our own, when we each got to pick two categories, I picked things that I thought were fun, but I knew both of us knew. He picked things specifically weren't fun that only he knew.
That's on you.
Like high school math.
Yeah. So you got out strategized in trivia. That's,
well, I was trying to make it. I was playing a gentleman's game.
Well, there's no.
I was looking out for the listeners.
Well, it was war, and all is fair in love and war. Cam, send us to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Story of the day is bulletin board material for the boys. Practice field this morning was, from reports, pretty relaxed, working on fundamentals as they get set for the first scrimmage of the year tomorrow, as we kind of get a better idea of who's going to break out in game scenarios. But just at noon, we had the release, the first edition of the 2022 season's coaches poll. How much longer do you think we'll have to wait for the media poll? Like, will that come out tomorrow? Will it come out this week, you think, now that the coaches are out first? You think they wait closer to game time? I don't know how that works exactly.
Let me see when it came out. 2021.
But the preseason USA Today top 25 coaches poll, which is still kind of funny that USA Today gets to kill, still like sponsor this and have it be their thing. Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson in the top four. I don't think anybody would be surprised that that seems to be the top four every year.
Last year, this was the AP poll. The first one was released August 25th.
Okay, so basically game week.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess we'll wait till game week this year.
Which
it's kind of surprising they wait that long, but I guess if the idea is like the poll comes out the week of the games, then mm-hmm. you know I guess that makes sense.
Which like that, if they release it on the Monday of the game week, would be the 22nd. So 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, there is the week zero that we're talking about. Notre Dame comes in at number 5.
Okay.
Michigan, Texas A&M, Utah, Oklahoma, which by the way is having like a weird like scandal.
Yeah.
Do you have any takes on that, Cam, where a longtime assistant steps down because he says he grabbed somebody's iPad, a player's iPad that wasn't paying attention and read the words out loud and without saying it, admitted like, yeah, I said the N-word. Is what it sounds like to me, like a word I should never say out loud. And he has resigned. I don't know if that's because the players inside the meeting were like, hey, this is unacceptable, we're not playing for this guy,
yeah.
or if he just felt that much shame, but he has resigned. He's since then like had at least Joe Mixon, which I don't know if that's the ally you want at Oklahoma. I don't know how they feel about him at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Mixon came out and was like, hey, this is unacceptable. Let this guy come back. He's the best coach we got there. He cares about everybody, blah, blah, blah. Give him a second chance. Got the coveted cosign from a black guy. Like, hey, not a racist bone in his body. You think that's something that ends up getting like him back on the job?
It's a weird situation because it's like, hey, like I get like you're reading something, whatever, but it's like also you gotta have like the awareness. I feel like to like stop yourself.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Feel like. But yeah, I feel like there had to be some pushback from someone to get him to like
sure.
where he's resigning.
Yeah, I mean,
so somebody was some sort of blowback. At least even I guess either players or maybe higher ups in the organization.
I would say the complaint probably came from some players, but we'll see. But Oklahoma's at number 9. Baylor rounding out the top 10. So you got a couple of big 12 schools there hanging out together. 2. There you go. Good job. Oklahoma State makes it 3. Oregon, NC State. That's a big takeaway so far, NC State mm-hmm. at number 13.
I have seen that they've been getting a lot of hype. People like their quarterback and
okay.
the defense and stuff like that over there. So they're supposed to be one of the teams that may give Clemson a run for their money. So
seems like Dave Doran does a pretty good job over there.
Yeah.
Maybe that wouldn't have been the worst hire. I don't know. Maybe it was just perfect for NC State, but good for them. Michigan State, USC, Pittsburgh. Okay, so one of the Tennessee's, first early season test.
Okay.
Miami, Texas, Wake, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Cincinnati, Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Houston. There's your top 25.
Really?
Yes. According to this poll I'm reading, yes.
I expected to see Tennessee.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did.
Especially,
at least Tennessee fans did.
But from the coaches, I would have expected to see Tennessee.
Well, the coaches.
I feel like the coaches are more down on us than.
I would say the coaches, for the most part, just looked at last year's end of season rankings. Like, I don't know how different this is going to be, but like, I don't know what a lot of these teams are returning.
Mm-hmm.
But, I would like to compare that to last year's standings of like where these teams finished up.
Okay, let's see.
See if you can get me a top 25, because I mean, feels like
I guess final coaches poll.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, or just the final AP poll.
Okay. The final AP poll.
Because they're probably looking and seeing Tennessee at 7-6. Like, whatever. Not gonna.
The final AP poll went Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Cincinnati, and then Baylor at 5, Ohio State 6, Oklahoma State 7, Notre Dame 8, Michigan State 9, and Oklahoma 10.
Yeah, I mean, obviously those teams are all still in the top 25. They did drop Cincinnati, a good portion, a good number of spots.
But yeah, I mean, you have here in like the top, the rest of the top 25, like Ole Miss, Utah.
Where was NC State? Was NC State ranked at the end of the year?
NC State was ranked 20th at the end of the year.
Okay.
You know, you did have Houston in there at 17 at the end of the year. You had Pittsburgh at 13, Clemson at 14. You had Kentucky at 18. Utah State was in there at 24th, by the way.
Okay.
Shout out Anderson there.
Utah State and San Diego State.
I just never take the coaches' poll seriously anyways because I don't think the coaches vote for any of them. Like, I think it's all just like the SIDs or some assistant that's having to do this because I can't imagine many of the head coaches are wasting their time sitting there and doing it. Or if they are, like, I don't think they're very educated because I think they only care about the teams that they play.
I forgot Baylor finished fifth last year.
Yeah, I mean, Baylor got that goal line stand. I was watching a little, I think it was SportsCenter maybe, and they were showing, you know, Baylor getting the goal line stand against Oklahoma State last year in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, I do remember that.
It's a pretty cool moment. You know, tackling him, like, at the 2-yard line.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was a fun play.
Did that keep Oklahoma State out of the playoff? Because they were fifth when that happened.
I think so.
They have gotten in. Or
I think they were talking about them getting in.
Maybe over Cincinnati.
Won. Yeah.
Right. There was talk of them getting in. I mean, also, if
they would have been 13-1,
hadn't have choked against TCU, like, Baylor would have gotten in.
Well, yeah, but we knew Baylor wasn't getting in during that game. Like, we knew that wasn't happening. But I had forgotten, like, Oklahoma State was number 5, and I was wondering, like, would they have maybe jumped Cincinnati?
That was the argument, because they would have the same record, and they obviously would have been a bigger win at that moment for sure with Baylor's ranking. So they probably would have.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when Georgia lost in the SEC championship, they wouldn't have jumped Georgia. So I guess there was only the one spot. But, yeah, pretty big choke job by Gundy, what's new. And then, yeah, you know, Baylor finished number 5, so I don't have a problem with them being top 10. Because, again, I think preseason polls are stupid anyways.
Yeah.
I maintain that most of them are just to kind of drive early season matchups. If I'm ESPN, it's easier to sell a top 25 matchup than it is – you know, a matchup against an unranked team. I don't know if any of these teams fit that criteria, but no Tennessee is the big thing, obviously, here in Knoxville. Do you think Tennessee should be a preseason top 25 team?
I think that they are one of the 25 best teams in the country starting the season. Does that mean that they should be top 25? Probably. I kind of like starting outside the top 25 personally. I don't know. I guess I've always liked when you start just on the outside and you have to earn your way in because it feels a little bit better when you get to week 3 and you won a couple games and now you're in the top 25.
Okay.
I think maybe when the team has a little bit more of an earn it mentality too, like, you know, that adds a little extra chip. And
yeah,
you know how important it is to try to find ways to, you know, for extra motivation, to find chips to put on your shoulder, which Tennessee should already have plenty, but hey, there's another one.
Yeah, see, I go the other way. I don't think it is important to find chips on your shoulder unless, like, you are bored. And it's one thing if Alabama has to find things to be slotted about to motivate themselves. That's a little bit different. If Georgia, who are, you know, are the defending national champions, if they are trying to be this whole, like, hey, we're being disrespected, you're picking Bama over us, or like, hey, Kirby Smart's telling everyone we're not the hunted, we're still the hunters. Like, if you're that trying to avoid complacency after, you know, a decade of domination, if you're Alabama, or, you know, just a historically great defense last year and winning your first national title in 40 years, Georgia, then maybe you need some chips on your shoulders. Tennessee, who went 7-6, like, I hope that they're not over there in the locker room saying, wow, now we're going to try hard, because they haven't accomplished anything. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I think Tennessee is going to accomplish some things this year, but they didn't accomplish anything last year. They should not feel like they've arrived by any means, or that they've been slighted, that they earned something last year, because, you know, they went 7-6 last year. Do I think they're one of the 25 best teams in the country? I think so. Do I think that if you have the second best quarterback in the conference, that most people look at you in the SEC, at least of being a top 25 team? I would think so. I'd imagine most of these teams on this list, most of them, not all of them, but I imagine most of the teams on this list are going to have a quarterback that is at least top 3 in the conference, in their own conference. Now, maybe, like, Michigan doesn't have a guy there. Like, who's Michigan's quarterback?
It's either Kay McNamara running it back, or it's the sophomore that got some reps that has all the high ceiling, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthy, yeah.
The one who came in and fumbled last year, I think, in a trick play or whatever.
They kept doing that two-quarterback thing to an extent sometimes.
Or some guy I was watching where he came in and just immediately fumbled. Like, I don't know if, like, Michigan has a top, you know, three quarterback in their conference. I don't know what the Big Ten has outside of, you know, Bryce Young. I mean, I don't know if there's another quarterback up there really knocking down the doors. But usually what the quarterback gets you some respect, especially if you have some pieces around it. And Tennessee's offense is going to have some pieces around it.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. We haven't really proven anything yet, so I'm not concerned about it.
That's fine. We haven't earned anything. And
especially when you get, like, Pittsburgh, you know, early and they're ranked, like, that'd be, if you beat them, I feel like you're in there.
If you beat Pittsburgh, you might just jump up to their spot. Like, that's sometimes how it happens with these early season matchups. If you beat a top 10 team, we've seen, was it, you know, Notre Dame and Texas? Notre Dame was number 10, then all of a sudden Texas was number 10 because they beat them in that classic game, and it's like, ladies and gentlemen, Texas is back, and then you realize, wait, Notre Dame kind of sucks, and so does Texas. So, like, Tennessee, if they beat Pittsburgh, could just swap spots with them and end up in the top 20 after week two.
I mean, I still think they're going to end up ranked in the top 25 in the AP poll.
When the media poll comes out?
Yeah.
That's very possible. I would probably say even likely that Tennessee finds itself in the 23, 24, 25 range. Like, on paper, is anyone expecting Ole Miss to be better than Tennessee?
I don't think anyone is, no.
I didn't think so either. I'm trying to, you know, acknowledge some blind spots. Don't want to sound like a homer or anything, but, like, by my understanding, Ole Miss has, you know, got a lot to prove this year. People don't expect much from them.
No, I mean, they have to reload.
Yeah.
Without Chance Campbell and Sam Williams and, most importantly, Matt Corral.
Right. So, like,
which I guess, like, Jackson Dart, maybe he turns out to be decent.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, like, no one's taking Jackson Dart right now over Hendon Hooker. So, like, the coaches poll I don't really care about. And I understand they're giving Ole Miss some respect for last year, but, like, you know, just things like that. And, like, even Pittsburgh at 16 was a little surprising to me, seeing them that high.
I didn't expect to see them there either.
We'll continue the conversation. Got some tweeters weighing in. We'll get to their points after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Jared writes in, since we're talking about Alabama finding motivation, asked if we saw where Saban put up the runner-up trophy on display in the team cafeteria as a participation award. He didn't even know they had a runner-up trophy. I guess I didn't know that either.
I didn't either. I hadn't seen that.
Did he make it up himself? Like, did he just, like, go get one?
Just went to a trophy shop real quick.
Yeah. Did he make an assistant, a Butch Jones type there, go and just get, like, a trophy made for them to put up there? Because this is the first I've ever heard of a participation trophy. But, I mean, like, yeah, obviously if you're Alabama, A, you're saying it's a rebuild year last year, which was probably factually correct. But also, like, if you're looking at the participation trophy, like, you have a chip on your shoulder there because you fell short of your goal. That's, you know, like, you should be out there trying to accomplish your goal. Now, at Alabama, we know they're playing different by different standards there. Like, they're national championship or bust. They're going to be wanting a national championship. Yeah. They fell short of their goal. But last year, like, do you feel like Tennessee exceeded goals? You might could say they did.
Yeah.
You might could say they did. You might could say that this team did look at last year as an accomplishment, as, like, hey, we went 7-5. I mean, keep in mind, last year it would have been fair to be like, hey, Tennessee, if they make a bowl game, that's a success. That was kind of the mentality around here.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, you went over your Vegas win total
last year. Was it 6.5? Okay.
You made a bowl game, and I think less in the record and more in the context of the games, you overachieved. Like, that's where you met goals and you passed goals, because, you know, if you would have gone 7-5, but you beat South Carolina in a two-possession game or a one-possession game, you go to Missouri and you scrape out a game there, I think we feel differently about this team. You know, if you get absolutely boat raced by Alabama without ever putting up a fight, if you get absolutely boat raced without putting up a fight against Georgia, which you kind of did anyway, but, you know, more so, again, just the level of explosive that you looked in the wins, I think is what made last year feel more successful than the record itself.
I think that's fair to say.
I mean, you saw, even with a limited roster, with limited talent, with limited depth, you know, with Josh Heupel and his coaching staff in place, you passed up South Carolina and Missouri that were also bad. And
you overwhelmed
them,
too. And
you should be able – you should do that. Like, if Tennessee is where the expectations for this program – or, you know, reaches the expectations for this program, if Tennessee, you know, gets to where the coaching staff and the fan wants to be, then you're going to overwhelm Missouri and South Carolina every year. You're going to also, you know, eventually overwhelm more schools every year. But, you know, it's important to separate yourselves from the bottom of the East, and I think you already did that in year one, and I don't think you're going to look back.
I don't know if I will say you're not going to look back, because I do think, like, this year you have to prove it again against South Carolina, at South Carolina. That's a popular pick for a team that's, like, on the upswing. Like, South Carolina got better this offseason. Whether you think Spencer Rattler is that guy, I think we'd all agree he's an upgrade on what they had last year at quarterback.
Yeah, not a grad student or whatever.
Yeah, not like just a –
like my favorite story, though.
Well, that's fine. That's cool. Like, if you're like, hey, this guy was supposed to be just kind of help coaching, but he's got some eligibility, so we got to dust him off. Like, that's fine. It was a cool story, but if you're South Carolina, it's not a story that you wanted to tell.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah. So, like, you know, South Carolina has gotten better. We know they finished the season strong. I know South Carolina feels like they're – I would say South Carolina fans feel like they're either on Tennessee's level or still above Tennessee. I think they think that.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I think Tennessee fans feel the opposite. I think we think that we're well past South Carolina. Insert Shane Beamer celebrating a stop when it's 42-7, or whatever the hell that screenshot is. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, insert that screenshot. But, you know, that's a good setup for a game in November if both fan bases feel like they have the best of the other. Tennessee needs to go into Columbia and do that again to them. Now, I'm not asking, you know, for as big of a beatdown. It's hard to get bigger than, you know, 45-20, especially when you look at how it was for most of that game. But I agree with Charlie. The way you beat Missouri and South Carolina did make those feel like two wins almost.
Mm-hmm.
You just completely overwhelmed both of them. And those were teams that you looked at before the year of at least being like your competition. Those were the games we were looking at. If we were ranking games for Josh Heupel last year, kind of like we did last week, looking ahead of the schedule, we would have had Missouri and South Carolina in those top fives, and they would have been pretty high because those are the games. Adding Kentucky, we'd have looked at those games as like, these are your guys that you have to catch first. Florida, it sucks to lose to Florida, but I don't think any of us would have been looking at that in the preseason and be like, ah, got to go down to Gainesville and make a statement there. We wouldn't have been doing that. With Pittsburgh having like the veterans they had coming back on their, you know, their on their lines.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett obviously wasn't a first-round pick heading into the year, but people thought he was pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. People thought, hey, this is a like sleeper quarterback.
At least like a veteran that's proven a lot, or at least a veteran that, you know, has good pieces around him that, again, not the first-round pick that, you know, he ended up being, but Pittsburgh was a solid team. You might have had them in the top five as well just because it was a big home game, but they'd have been down, you know, near the bottom. I think the games you would have focused on last year would have been Missouri, South Carolina, maybe Ole Miss because of Kiffin. And you didn't know Ole Miss was going to be as good as they were. Then Kentucky. And then, you know, maybe. I don't know if Vanderbilt still would have cracked that, you know, top five. But you weren't comparing yourself last year to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida is my point.
Yeah.
I still don't think you're at the point yet where you're comparing yourself to Alabama and Georia this year. But Florida, yes, Florida is a game that you should win. Florida should – this is going to sound crazy to say, but, like, in a lot of people's minds, like, there's a good chance that Florida this year looks like South Carolina last year in terms of what Tennessee does to them. Now, I think that's a little unreasonable to think that you should just overwhelm them, but like it's ripe. It's set up for you to do that. It's ripe for the picking for you to have a chance to come in here and really take out some frustrations on Florida this year. Go ahead, Charlie.
I was going to say, what SEC schools would you, you know, compare us to now?
I think it's Florida.
Would it be Florida?
Yeah.
And
Florida,
LSU. I was going to say, what, Arkansas?
Well, yeah, I was looking at teams on my schedule. Okay. But, yeah, like, you know, Arkansas would be a team that if it was in Fayetteville, you'd probably look at and say, ah, you're probably not going to win that one this year. Have a chance, but probably going to pick Arkansas. If it's in Knoxville, you'd probably look and say, yeah, we can win this game.
I guess when you were saying compare yourself, I was thinking in the sense of, like, the tiers of the SEC currently.
Right.
And
I'm looking at just on the schedule.
Obviously, that top tier is Alabama, and it's Georgia, and it's nobody else. But – And that second tier, I think you have A&M and you have Arkansas and you have maybe Florida and LSU there too, just because of the name value and some of their consistency, even in their down years. And then, you have Tennessee, and I think those are the schools you're trying to compare yourself to this year to be the best out of that second group. I think that's a reasonable goal.
Yeah, if you're looking at the conference as a whole, I 100% agree. Like, there's talk, I mean, coming out of SEC Media Days where people are saying, who's the third best team in the SEC? Which, of course, removes Alabama, removes Georgia. And a lot of people are saying, hey, Tennessee can be that third best team. You know, some people say it could be Kentucky. Some people are going to say it's going to be A&M. Can Tennessee be better than A&M? Yeah, they can be. Like, I don't know exactly. I feel like A&M's got a lot returning and, you know, feels good about themselves.
I don't feel great about A&M. I don't know why we're hyping – oh, I guess I get why we're hyping up A&M. When you pay $30 million to have the number one class in the country, you're going to get some hype.
But it's all freshmen, though. Like, you know, that class is all freshmen.
At the quarterback position, like, you just came off of a year of Zach Calzada, and you're going to replace him with either Haynes King, who had some hype. He was a promising young quarterback who had some hype and got injured. I believe it was either week one or week two that he got hurt, and that's why Calzada replaced him. So it's a competition between him and LSU transfer. Is it Miles Brennan?
Yeah.
At A&M, or is Miles Brennan the one that stayed?
Oh, okay.
Either Max Johnson or Miles Brennan. One of them stayed at LSU. One of them left for A&M.
I think Brennan stayed, right?
The fact that I can't remember which one is which speaks to their level of mediocrity.
Yeah, Brennan, I believe, is still at LSU.
So, yeah. Max Johnson.
I mean, it's a fair point about Texas A&M, and I'm not overhyping them. I don't think much about them. They're kind of an 8-4 program. They always have been. But the hype comes from beating Alabama last year and also just still getting some credit for the 2020 season and COVID when they went 9-1. So then you see them add a recruiting class, and it feels like, hey, they're figuring things out. But then you realize, wait, that recruiting class is going to be a lot of freshmen. You know what I mean? Like, how many of those freshmen are going to be big-time contributors on an SEC contender?
Did they get Alabama last year or 2020?
They got Alabama last year.
Okay, that's what I
thought. And they returned zero starters along their defensive line, four in their secondary, and one linebacker. They returned four starters on offense.
Yeah, so, like, Tennessee can 100% be better than Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And they can be at the top of that tier, too. Like, I think, again, that means you're the third best team in the SEC. That should be Tennessee's goal this year. That's the expectation for me. I know we put up a poll, and I know a lot of people will say, like, hey, I'm fine with 8-4, but quite frankly, I'm not. I think Tennessee should go 9-3 at least, and that puts you in contention for being the second best team or the third best team in the SEC. Does that mean that you finish third in the SEC? Maybe not, but the schedules aren't fair. Everyone knows that. Like, Auburn's the only team that fills us, right? Auburn's the only team that can look around and say, yeah, dog, get your pain. Man, playing Alabama and Georgia every year, it kind of sucks, huh? And we're like, yeah, it's not very fun. So, like, it doesn't even necessarily mean you finish third in the standings, but you can be the third best team in the SEC. And that's my goal. That's my expectation for Tennessee this year. Clint says he would way rather start in the top 25. Says it gives you a little bit of momentum without playing a game. So, like, yeah, you can feel some celebration. So, like, if the AP poll does come out game week and Tennessee's a top 25 team, that's going to feel like an accomplishment.
Yeah.
And it does give you some quote-unquote momentum heading into a season without actually doing anything. I understand that. I don't think it's very important either way. Because, again, I think they're meaningless. I would imagine the coaching staff is telling them it doesn't matter. If you're ranked, it doesn't matter. Take everyone seriously, blah, blah, blah. And quite frankly, it goes back to what I'm saying about motivation for this team. Like, I hope they're not satisfied. I don't think they are. I think they've all said the right things. Josh Heupel said the right things, right? Josh Heupel was talking about, you know, Hendon Hooker and his stats. And he said the only stats that matter this year for him is wins, which I think is the right mindset to have. Like, hey, we're out here trying to accomplish team goals here. It's not about getting noticed individually. It's not about just coming out here and trying to score points. It's about, like, hey, can we win a bunch of games? Because we have team goals this year. What are the team goals? You think they're talking about championships in the locker room? They probably are.
Yeah.
I would say they're saying, like, hey, we can win it all.
Because I'm concerned.
I mean, I think it's what you do as a team.
Yeah.
I think it's what you do as a coach. And
especially, like, you can realistically convince yourself of that, too. If You're just thinking split with Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah,
and
that's
you're right.
That's
there.
That's it. That's all you got to do is split one of those games, and like, yeah, you can have a chance. But like for us, you know, I think getting 9 wins in the regular season would be an accomplishment we haven't done in 15 years, mm-hmm. which is absurd to think about, but it's true. And I think, you know, aiming for a, you know, January bowl game and, you know, I think aiming for a New Year's Six bowl is realistic. To me, like, those are the goals. I'm not here thinking, like, hey, let's go in the East. I hope the team is, but I'm not thinking that. Yeah. I don't think they're ready for that conversation yet.
But would you say that there's a difference between goals and expectations? Like, your expectation maybe would be, I want this team to go 9-3. I want to see this team, you know, win the games they're supposed to, maybe split a couple toss-up games, whatever that you can, those might be when you look back at the schedule. And, you know, I want this team to improve defensively, but the goals more so would then be, hey, I want this team going 10-2. I want them to establish themselves as the third best team in the SEC. Like, I want to see them in a New Year's Six.
Yeah, I mean, I think goals and expectations are clearly different. Like, I do think making a New Year's Six Bowl. Is that even what they're called anymore? They're still called New Year's Six
Bowl.
Yeah,
New Year's Six Bowl.
A New Year's Six Bowl is a goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily the expectation. Right. Like, if you end up back in the Gator Bowl or, you know, whatever the hell they're called these days, the Outback Bowl, whatever. Like, that's not a New Year's Six Bowl, but, like, that's still a pretty good season. If you're fourth in the SEC and A&M gets the nod over you or something like that, or Arkansas gets the nod over you and you're 9-3 and they're 10-2, like, that's not a failure by any means.
No, not at all.
It's a goal to make the New Year's Six, but I'll settle for 9-3. Like, the goal should be 10-2. You're right. The goal should be the fan base, the team, realistically, should be like, hey, we can win every game on our schedule except against the Juggernauts. And, again, the team's probably in there saying we can win all of our games.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in that. We got Hendon Hooker, second-best quarterback in the SEC. We got Big Sed Tillman. Look at Squirrel. Like, in the locker room, I hope they're thinking we can accomplish anything.
No, that's the mindset I want for my team, for sure.
A goal would be 10-2, but, like, again, I'm not saying that's the expectation. But with that being said, like, I do still think it's fair if your expectations are to win 9 games this year in the regular season. None of that counting the bowl game nonsense over here.
9-3 I think should be the expectation. If you have an expectation of 8-4, then you're underestimating this team.
Yeah, or you're trying to do the thing where you're allowing them some wiggle room because, like, quite frankly, like, I understand this season more than usual, the divide in the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when we get to, you know, this point in the offseason, one side is either being unrealistic in their optimism or being weighed down by their pessimism, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes, and usually it's the people that are a little bit too optimistic, obviously, because, again, I told you we haven't won 9 games since 2007. Although last year, I think it's fair to say, like, when you looked at the schedule, you could have pointed to people saying that Tennessee was going to go 4-8 or that they'd be lucky to go 5-7 as being weighed down by negativity. Because the schedule, like, just kind of sets you up like you should be able to win at least, you know, 5 games, 6 games in this. But this year, I do feel like both sides can have some justification. If you think Tennessee can go 10-2, you're doing that because you really believe in this offense and that the defense has some guys that can make some plays. And, like, you got some coaches that have either proven it for a long time, like Rodney Garner, or, like, showed some good things, some good flashes in year one as a coordinator in Tim Banks, right? Like, the defense
Absolutely. Overall
wasn't probably much better than you thought they were going to be. When you look at the final season in numbers, but they showed flashes and they disrupted some plays and had a lot of, you know, tackles for loss. And you looked at that and said, huh, if we can just get some quarterback pressure and create some of those tackles for loss and turn them into sacks, this defense could actually do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also understand if you are one of those people that looks and says, man, like, I don't know how I feel about, you know, our other tackle position, most likely going to be left tackle. Whether or not that's a Florida cast-off, a guy that couldn't really crack the rotation at Florida and Gerald Mincy, or a guy that, you know, in J.J. Crawford, who, you know, we don't know if he can handle the SEC. And then you look at the, you know, the defense, and you have questions there. And obviously, I don't need to run down the questions about the defense. We all have them.
It's easy to see flaws being possible in the stand, for sure.
So, like I said, like if your idea of like your fifth tackle, your fifth offensive line spot, and maybe you know the most important position at left tackle, it's a Florida cast off, a guy who you know didn't really crack the rotation, or a you know JUCO guy that you brought here that you know again hasn't proven he can play at this level. I understand both sides of the coin in this season. And maybe that maybe you take the extremes, you take the negatives, you put them together, and that spells out an 8-4 season where you're ultimately satisfied. Maybe that's what happens.
That could be it. I mean, honestly, but
– where you come out of it, you go 8-4, and you're like, man, we missed some opportunities, but also, man, we won a game we weren't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
We had some moments. Maybe that's what happens when you take the two extremes and put them together. Maybe that's what we should brace for. I don't know. But I understand pretty much anything – when it comes to what fans are thinking this year. Now, if you're like being too extreme, like 4-8 or 5-7, like I think you're being a little too harsh.
People
and if you're,
like
if you're saying 11-1 or 12-0, I think you're being a little too optimistic. But like, if you tell me 6-6, I believe that. If you tell me, you know, 10-2, I see the path there.
6-6 feels unreasonable. That feels like a stretch.
I mean, is it?
What would happen for Tennessee to go 6-6?
Like, you lose to Kentucky, you lose to South Carolina. And then Florida and like Pitt, I don't think those are stretches. Like, I think that's very possible that you lose your first big test at Pittsburgh against a team that, as of right now, is ranked number 16th. That you know is well coached, and you're on the road. And I don't think I need to walk you through how you lose to Florida because we've seen that our whole lives. And then you know Kentucky is good and beats you, and then you know South Carolina
or LSU
when it's cold down in Columbia. Like I think,
but all four of those.
It's kind of what happened last year in terms of not exactly what happened last year, but like the five losses you had last year were all, you know, a couple of them at least with Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh and Ole Miss. You looked at it and it's like, oh, those are kind of coin flips that maybe we should have won, and you just came up on the wrong side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Kentucky game easily could have been a loss too. Like you were on the right side of it this year, you know, last year. But I don't want to say that like I think that 6-6 is out of the question because I don't.
I do.
Okay.
I would completely write off 6-6. If this team goes 6-6, like Josh Heupel's not the guy, and
we don't know if Josh
should leave.
Well, we don't know if Josh Heupel's the guy.
Yeah.
We don't. I mean, we don't know that. Like, I think Josh Heupel is off to a good start.
I'm not saying that he's the guy. I'm saying put simply, if you go 6-6, like you definitively know that he's not.
Well, that's fine, but like that doesn't mean that 6-6 can't happen, though. That's my point. You're talking about what happens afterwards. I'm saying like,
but even if he went like 7-5 or 8-4, like you'd still be questionable about Josh Heupel and his future.
Sure.
But like 6-6, like that would be a massive disappointment.
Sure.
That would be an unreasonable disappointment. Like that would take a drastic injury or some teams being significantly better than expected.
Well, I think you could have it to where like kind of John says, Pittsburgh, you're on the road, Pittsburgh's fine, you slip up early, that happens. Anthony Richardson, if he's everything people want him to be. You could turn around and end up losing that game.
And again, you don't have to, Cam, walk me through how you lose to Florida. We've seen how you lose to Florida many times. Like, I mean, you're
going
to be fighting against your own crowd the first time something goes wrong.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just the energy that's going to be in that stadium, unfortunately.
So, you don't have to walk me through how you lose to Florida. You could go to Pitt and lose to a team that still has some experience. Maybe Slovis is better than people think.
And you lose to Kentucky. Georgia and Alabama. So you're already at 4.
Georgia and Alabama.
So then you just have to lose 2 or 3 at LSU. At LSU, Kentucky, or at Georgia, at South Carolina. You lose 2 of those 3 and you're at 6 wins.
Yeah, like I get what you're saying. Sure, you could paint the possibility of any of those specific things happening, and I wouldn't be surprised if any one of those specific things happened, but to say that every single one of them happens seems unrealistic. It seems unreasonable.
Like, okay. I mean, again, I don't think we go 6-6, but if you told me that
I think you're just as likely to go 11-1 as 6-6.
I disagree, but I don't think Tennessee's going 6-6. So I do want to make that clear, but if you're telling me that like the offensive line doesn't hold up and that like the defense is bad and like South Carolina's better than we thought and LSU's, a Brian Kelly coach team on the road, like you could easily talk me into losing both of those games.
Mm-hmm. Will Levis could be the number one overall pick.
I mean, that would be tough to swallow.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but like,
I'd be so angry.
I'm not going to act like those are out of the realm of possibility. Well, that took a depressing turn. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.